This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Hello, good morning. I'm Noel Lim. Today we speak to Sabri Abdul Rahman, the Executive Director of Pertama Digital, or formerly known as Sinotop Holdings. He emerged as a substantial shareholder this year as the company engineers its way into the digital space and disposes its old world textile business. Welcome, Sabri. What's your vision for Pertama as a digital player to be reckoned with?
First and foremost, this thing essentially has been about 20 years in the making. We started our business in the year 2000. I switched from my previous vocation being in the communication and broadcasting into the so-called digital, online, mobile space kind of a thing on the strength of the vision that the so-called, you know, Netflix was coming, so local television is going to be challenged. So I then went on to the space and I said, how do I get myself into this online thingy? So what happened is at that time, there was a lot of interest in the world of SMS messaging. And that's when we mooted the idea that SMS are not just for fun between peers. Instead, we went on to the organization. So what happened is we created Dapak Vista as a subsidiary of my then communication company. And our simple idea was to tell one or two government agencies. We call it high traffic government agencies. High traffic meaning they deal with a lot of people. And at that time was Polis Diraja. And told them that, like, you know, let's use SMS and tell the people that they can check their traffic summonses for their traffic offenses so that they don't have to go queuing at the Balai Police all the time. The rest is history, because we went on to all the other agencies and then all the agencies starts buying the idea, and we were then given a contract by the government to offer SMS connectivity for public to actually ping their requirements of their data, be they road tax renewal, deadlines, your passport's expiry, and so on and so forth. And we got it for about 300 plus government agencies.
SMS was revolutionary at the time when Dapat introduced all those services. But what next now? What's the vision now for Pertama?
So we went back to the same government agencies who uses the SMS and says that if you were to actually agree with us to expand your service onto a smart app, then we can start making more colourful your products and offerings and things like that.
Would that include MyPay?
Yes, absolutely. Because MyPay is all about a central location where we consolidate all those things. You and I and every other millions of the 30 plus million population of the country, we have things to do with the government one way or the other every day we wake up. But if you were to actually download all the even 20, 30 government agencies, let alone 300, you go crazy. You don't know which one to open. So what happened is, uniquely in this country, which is brilliant, we have all things connected to our identity card. So we have devised a system where you give yourself the permission for a very clever system at the back to actually scour the entire database at the government agencies. And since anything to do with me, with this IC number, I will give you a permission to actually digitize it and send it back to me on a timely basis, so that when I wake up and press tell me what's latest with it, that's my Alexa right there.
The states, are they on MyPay yet? They're not, right?
Okay. This is the migration time that we are talking about. So we are not telling people yet, because there's a bit of a integration, if you use that word, but that's the biggest word, a very difficult one at that. So what we are using as a simple way is we are integrating the APIs, because the datas are all sitting in all the various places, but there needs to be the bridge. So the bridge is where the API works, the protocol of connection. So give it a few more months, all those people will be happy seeing these connections going on smoothly without interference, and then you will wake up with that what we call MyPay telling you to get what you want, what you need to get. You are right. I will just go on to give you a small other example. Like, say for instance, you, if not your parents and whatnot, we have some properties around the country, and probably some of them are land, in the form of land pieces. You know, I mean your orchards or whatever. Land office are state governed, and their issue is their record keeping are not the most updated. So what happened is if you have moved 3-4 times, you've given them all the new dates, or sorry, new addresses and things like that, they don't get updated like you would do elsewhere. So what happened is every time you need to pay the so-called the fee, they call it lesen cukai tanah, it never gets there, or rather, it never gets to you. I mean, you don't remember when you last paid, let's put it that way. So here is the situations where we want the bill to be proactive.
How can we accelerate the adoption of GovTech services?
Government everywhere, not just Malaysia, right? I mean, every time they do that, the systems of their operation is such that they have to open a tender, they've got to be open about the specs, and they've got to start opening which one of you is the best at doing this and whatnot. Now, every time a spec is being drawn up, a startup has probably gone ahead raising their first million. By the time a tender document arrives at the government's table, they've probably gotten the first 30,000 consumers. Every time an award is given, it's 3 years later. The country, the startup would have been in 3 different countries. What I'm saying is that the government has, in a way, said time and again and says, guys, come on, let's play ball with me here as well. So similarly here, insofar as my EG is concerned, they went to the government and says that I'm going to actually liberate the ability for people to access your data so that you get to collect your otherwise unpaid road tax on it. But JPJ could have said, no way, everybody has to come here. They can't do it from Alostar if they live in godforsaken jungle that, you know, you need two to four hours to go to, kind of a thing, right? Anyway, so what happened is JPJ says, no, I can what do you call this, crystallize this scenario where the thing is being coded, so that data will be traveling to the guy who actually has access to that. So that guy has got to go through the process like internet banking. You enter your certain numbers, you get back your TAC, and then you are now clarified that you are Sabri Rahman. I want to know expiry of my car, full stop. Now, if I get it, then it's my decision whether I want to renew the road tax or not, given the amount I now know that I have to pay.
The biggest challenge here now is COVID-19, fighting the pandemic. And do you see any opportunities where you can work with the government to provide better data management? Because it seems to me if you can get information really fast, you can respond faster. And then this is when we start to move to live with COVID as an endemic.
Okay. COVID is the very reason why we are all now on a flight. We are on a flight. And the flight being the analogy that we are not traveling slow, we are traveling very fast. Very fast. We are on a flight to digital.
So what's Pertama's solution?
Pertama's solution is actually to go to the areas where we have done our so-called homework. We are the type that goes down to the ground with notebooks, stand up there like your users to ourselves and actually study what is the problem here. And you come back to the drawing board, do it up, and then pick that particular department and go and speak to someone there and says, do you not agree this is a problem? And they say, yeah, why not? I mean, that is a problem. What are you going to do about it? No, we are going to roll out the problem. We are not going to ask you to pay for it, but we are going to get the public to actually consider using this as an alternative.
Is this an area you're looking at, helping the government fight pandemic?
100%.
What possible solutions do you have in mind based on the kind of work process that you, your staff may have done?
I'd like to say, if I tell you, I have to kill you, but, I can't, right? So there are a few. Let's put it this way. The 300 guys, rather the agencies that we have offered our SMS service way back in the year 2000, are the one that we are talking to right now. And slowly but surely, we are creating solutions to all of them. And to borrow the commercial term called lowest hanging fruit. So we are going to those one first. Even say, for instance, 10% of the 300 would be about 30. I think we are talking about half of that. So about 15 is the one that we probably will be launching big time soon, because these are the one who are actually as eager as we are to actually say, come on, take this one as well. You know, the public needs to use this. We've been doing that for exam results. You don't have to go to the schools to get your results. We've been doing that to pay your bills and the costs when it used to mean that you have to actually go to the banks to queue to pay, put your money, and then rush back to the courts and give the documents to the court clerks to release the guilty party and so on and so forth. While waiting for hearing and so on and so forth. Those are examples.
I'm speaking to Sabri Abdul Rahman, the Executive Director of Pratama Digital. We'll discuss Pratama's fintech aspirations after this.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking to Sabri Abdul Rahman, the Executive Director of Pratama Digital. The company has applied for a digital banking license with firms like Experian, Trevor, Paywatch and Quora. Can you tell us what would you bring to the table with this license?
Well, there are two things. Number one is fundamental in the digital banking application framework is about the financial inclusion. So the financial inclusion is about the B40s, the one that is normally not dealt with by the conventional banks for many reasons. So we wanted to go that department, and actually we have got reasons enough to believe that this sector is actually very lucrative, and it's rewarding in all internal purposes. Having bank account is not the problem. Having bank account is just the beginning of it all. Having bank account and benefiting from it, using it, purposes of transaction, that's another number, and that's never reported. So, you know, you have an account, I have an account, I have many bank accounts. I opened it when I was perhaps even 12 years old because I was given this contribution like a scholarship or something like that. And then I forgot about that account. So that's me having a bank account, but I never did use that. That money, I don't know even where now, however much. So this is a situation of not about people who has bank account. It's about they should be in the financial system to actually be able to have a record of their transactions, because they are interacting with the market. So they want to sell goods, they want to receive payments, they want to pay their vendors or rather suppliers and so on and so forth. That equations or ecosystem is massive.
What you're homing in is enabling them to maintain a track record of their financial payments, and with that, then they can either maybe borrow money from the bank.
Correct. Probably an extension or rather a continuation of the answer to your question just now. The many names that you mentioned as our partners, it's about us not wanting to reinvent anything. Even if we are, given the license, we want to hit the ground running. We don't want to go and reinvent anything anymore. Government, Bank Negara is said to be giving us about a year. A year is not enough. If we want to start anything, we need to go and reiterate or test or whatever that is. But with these kind of guys who has already done a lot of things, right? But what happened is we can go hit the ground running because all of them are already having product ready to roll.
That brings me to the next question. Have you ever worked with them? Because now there are many partners, five partners that we are talking about. Like one is Paywatch is from South Korea, Koala is from Indonesia, and insurance, I think online insurance player. You know, there are many players now. So how are you going to bring them together, and what challenges do you foresee? You know, well, too many cooks spoil the broth.
They are not necessarily people who we've been in bed with, but they are, as you know, business who are ready to do business with anyone. So let's just pick one of them. Paywatch, for instance. It's about a guy who actually go in between you and I who earn salary. So I earn a salary. My salary is, say, 10,000 ringgit a month. And by the time I work for a week, 7 days, technically my employer owes me 7 days of wages. And suddenly I need to use that wages. Back in the days, I used to go to my boss and says, can I have an advance? The answer is always no. So I had to go to my friend, and my friend says, yeah, but you know, how do I make sure you pay? Because, you know, I can't even tell the boss to pay your salary to me, kind of thing. So fast forward, Paywatch is doing that. So via our bank, you can actually ask us, because Kola has, Paywatch has already done an arrangement where your salary is going to be debited to my account this month. Take 7 days of your salary from me now. You may want to use it for anything. You don't have to go borrow from anyone because it's your money. And then at the end of the month, the bank pays back the entire 100% of your salary. 7 days of it is already being given to you. So you get 23 days off.
The plan is to deposit the money with you as an entity?
Yeah, I mean,
and using the Paywatch platform?
Yeah, that's the complete process. I mean, even if I go, we are all receiving money from the banks through our salaries to the banks today, right? Yours is bank A, B, or C. But you can't go to the bank and say, give me some of that money that you are going to receive from my boss this week, or rather this month, because the bank says, I haven't received from them yet. But we switch that and we say that they're going to need this. Why? Because post-pandemic, say for instance, a teacher who earns 8,000 ringgit a month and the wife sells nasi lemak on the side, and suddenly she runs short of money to pay her supplier of cooking oil, for instance. And she says, darling, I need to borrow 300 ringgit. And the husband says, I haven't received my salary yet. So she might even have to resort to borrowing from her neighbor. So, but in this case, if the husband's salary is being deposited in our digital bank, the husband can just actually say that, give me $300 because I've already earned a portion of the 10,000 ringgit or 8,000 ringgit.
Right. So
we'd be more than happy to give him 300 on the spot, and he gives to the wife.
Because you know in anticipation that his salary is likely to come in.
Absolutely.
What interests me is the Indonesia insurer that you'll be working with, Koala. And how would those products work? Because I think that's always the problem with the B40 group, right? The income is variable. They might need income for emergency purposes.
Right. What's brilliant about this is that the so-called the dynamics of the algorithms that these people works behind is amazing. So you find that a Food Panda food rider or Grab rider or whatever that is today has got their own mishaps or situations as well. They can't work, they felt sick, or whatever they did. Well, there is supposedly the insurance and things like that, but there is over and above that, this Kuala insurance. So, you know, it probably is going to cover right to the extent of your depression in income. So if your average take home is 3,000 for the month, you being, offset by the fact that you had a 3 days unable to work due to mishaps or whatever that is, that part is going to be covered.
And this will be micro insurances?
Oh, yes. We're going right down into the very real thing that they are facing.
We know for a long time the B40 is very underserved. Why is it that traditional banks and insurers have failed to respond to their needs more adequately?
Well, I've spoken to about that, and they say this has been a long drawn situation that they all come across every day. But, being huge, as we all know, about ability to be agile, to understand a response to this kind of market, have to deal with things called legacies, the systems that they build, the kind of workflow and the regulations as well. So hence, I think rightly, the Bank Negara has seen this as well. And so they say, let's give it to the new guys who actually is a little bit more brave and creative along the way and see how they come out with it.
We have Putrajaya, Cyberjaya, MSC way before China even joined the WTO. But we are not a tech powerhouse. Singapore has that reputation of being a digital hub in this region. What's the missing link in Malaysia?
I, on the other hand, am not so much a non-believer in that. I actually have seen, and I'm on the ground, I've seen amazing, ability to churn out ideas and thinking already. So, these kind of things doesn't happen overnight, right? I mean, a generation ago, or rather say 15 years ago, my chuchu was just a guy playing all the fun. But today, the kind of things that he makes me embarrassed is beyond normal. So 15 years, and that's a good time to take this kind of thing. So if you think of 15, 20 years ago, the fundamentals of the baseline that is being set up by the government. And that time, those guys were probably 20. And so today they are 35. They are in the market, and they are actually launching startups and things like that. You go ask who are behind the Food Pandas of this world, who are behind the Grabs of this world. Probably they are ours, they are Malaysians who actually come up from these kind of things. So they don't have to actually go and build themselves a tall 90-story tower to reflect that. But down there, full of substance.
And what do you think could be done better for the ecosystem?
Okay, today, thanks to the pandemic, they themselves are actually already trying and testing a lot of things. A lot more VCs and local and foreign funds are coming in to support them and things like that. So the government actually also has introduced the so-called all kinds of, what you want to call the government blueprints here, blueprints that. But the days of yesteryears where the government follow up that kind of announcements with a coffer of billions of dollars of this and that that gets abused along the way are no more. So this is the way to do things, because if you keep dishing those out and whatnot, they tend to forget and do it wrongly. So today you say that you know the aspirations, you know the potential out there, you test something out, even if you do a good song on the Facebook or YouTube, you've got followers like millions. So the floor is yours, guys. And I think they are responding that very well. So that's my gung-ho-ism right there. They meaning the entrepreneur.
Thank you for speaking with me, and all the best with the license. Sabri Abdul Rahman, the Executive Director of Pertama Digital. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.